will be touching on this matter again because I intend to follow up with the BC Human Rights Commission to find out if there's a better way for them to do business rather than terrorizing small businesses and forcing them to shut down. Thank you, Jacqueline, for calling Media Nation on Saga 960 AM. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And I hear that we have Jessica Yaniv.
I am back.
Hi, Jessica. Yes, we have a couple minutes. What are your thoughts?
So I want to clear, I was listening to Mr. Carpe. I'm just going to help it. And I thought, you know, I want to clear some stuff up here. Like, essentially, no one has forced these people and these employees into this specific line of work. There are many... many, many jobs that racialized, and immigrant women can get into, but they've chosen this specific line of work. And one really important thing that I believe in, that, you know, when you go into, when you choose a job, or when you apply for a job, when you try to get service, you can't choose your clients based on their gender identity. The other thing I want to mention as well is like what Jacqueline stated in regards to targeting immigrants. This is not at all a target on immigrant women. The fact of the matter is that immigrant and racialized women are the ones, like, I live like in between Surrey and Langley, British Columbia, and, you know, it's a matter of the fact that immigrants and racialized women and women of color are the ones that perform these services in this area. It's like every business you go to, you are running into these women. So, like for example, if you go to a nail salon here, it's usually women that are Taiwanese or Vietnamese, same as a pedicure. You go to waxing, it's usually East Indian women. It's just common fact.
Yes.
It's completely different here than in Toronto and in Mississauga.
Yes, it's true. Because,
you know, and as I've stated, it really isn't fair that, like, an intersex person or a transgender person be refused service just because that's how they were born, you know? That's how they were born, you know? It's really not fair that I have to go and seek services from 16 salons, get rejected from 16, and then have to travel all the way down to Victoria to go get a wax done. It's just unacceptable. The other thing I want to mention as well, that Mr. Carpe... and I do find it quite unreal that Mr. Carpe will not accept my gender identity and treat me with the proper pronouns. That's just unbelievable from a lawyer's standpoint, you know. But essentially, the JCCF, and this is why the cost application has been filed, particularly Mr. Carpe and Lindsay Shepherd, who is an employee of the JCCF, they've been using platforms such as the postmillennial.com and Rebel Media to smear me online and provide details without any confirmation, without even prior to hearings about me. And this is a big concern because I don't have the capability, and nor should I have the capability, to go and start smearing the respondents on social media, on blogs and everything. So how is it acceptable that a lawyer that is assigned to the bar of Alberta, be able to have the capability to literally publish details prior to even a case being out there and prior to me even giving evidence or testimony, and just smearing me online saying JY has male genitalia and a whole bunch of other...
I think you've raised a number of issues, and maybe we'll have to get John Carpe to get back on. But clearly, John Carpe's organization, Justice Center for Constitutional Freedoms, intervene in cases where, in many instances, people are being browbeaten, people are being denied their job opportunities, being fired, being threatened, and they the JCCF intervenes to protect the rights, the constitutional rights of organizations. Yeah. I understand your battles with the JCCF. I can't speak to the battles with the other organizations, but I am happy we were able to give you, Jessica Yaniv, your opportunity today.
There's another big fight, Carlene, that I'm going to be fighting that really it affects all women and even all men, all over Canada. And even most likely the states, because usually things that happen here end up happening in the states. And that is gender-based differential pricing. So essentially, why do us as women have to pay more for a haircut than a man does for the same amount of hair, amount of time?
I support that 100%. Thank you, Jessica.
That's gonna be my next big fight.
Well, thank you, Jessica Yaniv, for joining us today and giving us your side of the story. It's a tough story. We were happy today on Media Nation to hear from you. Thanks again for joining us. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us.
Have a great day, Kelly.
Have a great day. We listened to John Carpe earlier with the Justice Center for Constitutional Freedoms talking about the other side and supporting the estheticians legally. It's a very controversial, very complicated case. We're happy we could have both sides on Media Nation today. We'll be back again tomorrow. Have a great day.